Hey everybody, welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I think we're going to have a great show today. We have a special guest with us.
Hi.
Dimitri, probably most of you already know him. He does the Toolbox Show.
I'm in Toolbox occasionally.
For the small percentage of people that don't actually know you, can you maybe introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Sure. I love to talk about me. It's my favorite topic. So
I can do the whole show just talking about you.
I really could. Yeah, but nobody's asked me. It's weird. If anybody wants the show, just
comments,
me.
In the comments, you can always leave there and just say, hey, we want to talk about Dimitri all day. So yeah.
There you go. I'm a product manager. I work for the Visual Studio team, and I've been working there for 5 years, working in events like Build, Ignite, TechEd. So folks that go to big events might have seen me running around, and I certainly work a lot online with Channel 9. So Toolbox is just one of those fun things, but I'm behind the scenes usually.
You're the man that pulls all the strings and tells people what to do.
I try to make sure we have great videos, we have great speakers, we have great, our releases go smoothly, that sort of thing. So it's a lot of work.
So all the content that we have out there, a lot of the content, it's your fault.
I've helped bring about 500 videos to Channel 9.
So if something goes wrong, people know who to go to.
Yeah, if you don't like a video we do at a major event, you can probably talk to me. There's a good chance I was involved.
They have your Twitter account,
so they
can always tweet.
Oh, they know where to find me.
There you go.
It's not hard. Great.
Now, did you see this animation that we have here for
I
you?
I thought
you
it that? Was Look amazing. I said I'm going to play this at every team meeting going forward. That is the most epic thing with my face in the middle.
You have
that
some music also come when you come in and they have this and some music coming on.
This is awesome.
Announcing.
I'm inspired.
There you go. Perfect. Anyway, let's dive right in.
We have a show, I think.
So the first thing I'm going to talk about today is we have a new release of the UWP SDK for the insiders. It's build 15003. I can never say
this. It's totally not confusing.
1503 or 1503. Anyway, so we have a new release, not to be confused with the actual release of the Windows release that we have for insiders. This is the SDK for UWP developers. Developers can download this and try out all the new cool new APIs. You do need to have also the preview of Visual Studio 2017 for this to run. Mm-hmm. But it has some cool new stuff.
Up to RC there.
RC, yes. Yeah. And then we have some cool new stuff in here. My favorite thing is now we finally have some Bluetooth improvements. You have a GET server now, finally. You could have GET client before, but now you can have GET server to do things like some awesome notifications for some devices that support it, et cetera. And you can also do some unpaired Bluetooth scenarios where a device can work without actually pairing to your device. So it's some cool stuff. So developers can go and download it, this standalone on their new insider build, and they can try it out and play with it, and they can give us some feedback and see what happens.
Yeah, feedback's important. That's why we do all these preview releases, right? It's not because, hey, we like to spend all the time shipping previews. It's a lot of work to ship them, but the feedback is super critical. So make sure you go out and share that feedback. And Clint did a great job with the blog post. It has all the details.
Yeah, he has a whole list of all the new APIs you can try out. It's really cool. Yeah, and if you don't know by now, you probably should know by this, we have an event coming up in February 8th.
February
We're going to talk about all about the new Windows stuff coming up and the creators update and all this cool stuff that are coming on Visual Studio, et cetera. So it's going to be fun stuff.
Yeah, I love our digital events. I'm a big fan. I've got to run .conf, Connect, lots of different things, and it's awesome we can do that. So hopefully folks will tune in.
It should be a fun day.
Should be fun.
Anyway, we also have some new stuff coming up on the graphics end, right?
Yeah, you will get picks. So for the folks that work on graphics development and they need this kind of tooling, so we have tooling in Visual Studio, but we also have tooling as part of PIX, and PIX is coming out of the Windows team. So we've got a lot of great capabilities in there. We've got profiling tools. It's a standalone tool. You don't need VS to run it. But it's another piece of the tool chest, and folks should definitely check it out. It's currently a beta, but it's pretty stable. PIX has been around for a very long time. I mean, we used to give it out, I think, only to like certain people that got special access for like Xbox program or whatever. So this tool's been out there for a long time, and now it's out there for everyone else to try. So.
It's been around since the original Xbox.
Yeah,
when game developers were doing the original Xbox game, they were able to use this PIX tool, and not a lot of people know about it, and they've used it, but it's a great tool to do any debugging for your graphics apps. They use DirectX 12 on it, and it's just it's one of the other tools in your tool belt.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, gaming and Windows super important. A lot of our customers make a lot of money from Windows platform. I'm a big PC gamer, so I love when Windows games actually perform well. So please, if you're building a Windows game, use stuff like this. Make sure it's optimized. And I mean, I think there's a lot of value in these sort of tools helping you. Otherwise, good luck doing some of these capabilities manually. Yeah. We've all done the print to console, right? Probably not the best way of doing graphics, CPU debugging.
Exactly. And with people using all kinds of different systems with not as many capabilities as some of the high-end systems, you need to make sure that all your games are as performant as possible. So these kind of tools there help a lot in that regard. Now, speaking of more developer tools coming out there, There's a great blog post by Vladimir that talks about UWP Desktop NuGet package, which allows developers to build WPF or VB applications to actually pull in very easily UWP features, APIs, features like lifetiles, for example, in the applications.
Yeah.
You can do that now by pulling in DLLs yourself and calling in these APIs.
What can go wrong by manually having
to
look
for
DLLs?
Know
how,
yeah.
It's super easy. Just go to this folder, wherever it is in your machine, and look
for
this DLL.
The instructions are very clear. Just follow these 10 pages of instructions.
Yeah.
But the UWP Desktop NuGet package makes this super easy. It also allows you to do things very easily by just using a wait, just like you use in a UWP application, and be able to block unsupported APIs. So if an API is not supported, you try to call it, this package will actually say, hey, this is not supported, you can't use this. Before, you couldn't know until you actually tried it and actually ran it, which is wasn't as useful.
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot more apps integrate, you know, Windows 10 into like desktop applications, and now the story can package them up. Centennial, I mean, there's so much goodness for desktop developers now trying to integrate Windows that people should definitely check this out. I remember doing some of this and showing this to people back before we even knew which DLLs to add references to, back in the early days when Windows 10 was just coming out, and this is such a step forward, so it's awesome.
Agree. We also have some new stuff in VSTS.
We have some new stuff in VSTS. So Visual Studio Team Services, you know, this is our Team Foundation server in the cloud. It's our cloud-based ALM system, and we constantly add features to it. We constantly try to make it better. The cool thing here is that we are enabling preview features now even earlier for customers. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to check out our preview features, in the past there were ways you could email certain people, you can get on certain lists. Now feature flags capability that basically enables these preview features is in the UI. So you can opt in, you can opt out. And we have some really cool features. I think you were impressed by the whole homepage redesign, right? I mean, that was really
exactly.
Awesome.
We were talking right before the show here, and I didn't know about this. So I went in there, I did these screenshots myself.
Yeah.
There's a little bar that says, hey, try out this early preview. Click on it. Yeah. A whole new page shows up, much more cleaner, looks beautiful. It's great. I haven't had a chance to try any of the other things, but this is great. It's kind of like insiders for VSTS.
Yeah.
You get to try all the new stuff before they ship out there and give us feedback and see what works and what doesn't. It's a great way to make sure that the things that people want are out there.
Yeah, it's definitely a feedback channel, so that's important to remember. It's also, again, important to remember you can opt out. If something doesn't work there, don't feel like you're stuck, just opt out of the feature. And there's a good release note that lists all the capabilities that they shipped with this recent build, and it just came out in January, so it's very fresh.
And we have that link right there below the video, which is great.
Yeah.
Track Record has been out for about a year now.
For about a year now.
Yeah.
I remember helping ship it. It was one of those fun little projects I got to work on with the team, and there was a lot of complexity with shipping something this major out into open source. But it's shipped. 70 contributors. I'm looking for my notes here. There's been so much work. It's under the MIT license. It's up there. They've been really trying to make sure that it's also a cross-platform core. So they first shipped it was Windows only. Yeah. They're working to get it to Linux. They got all the core architectural stuff in there now. So if you haven't checked it out in a while, go check it out. There's a lot of stability. It's not done yet. It doesn't work fully. In other words, Windows and Linux, not feature complete yet fully in parity. But Linux is getting all the core stuff, and they just have to kind of work around the edges still, and folks can still contribute. And it's powers all our stuff that's JavaScript, right? All TypeScript.
That's right. It's amazing to see how many contributors we've had, even from outside of Microsoft, working on this. And it's great. I didn't know this, but the Tracker Core has been used in other different projects that I've used, and I didn't realize the reason.
Yeah.
For example, HoloJS.
Yeah.
I tried it out, and it's a way to create holographic applications for UWP using JavaScript. It's based on Tracker Core.
Yeah. And you can get an engine. You need something to run.
Exactly. I didn't realize this at the time, but it's really cool, and it's been used. And you know, if there's a feature that's needed, it's out there. Anybody can go in and kind of fix it out, and we have the evidence that people are actually doing that now.
I remember many years ago when Microsoft started to open source a lot of things, there was some talk of like, is Microsoft open sourcing to kind of say, well, we're not working on this thing anymore? No, we're really working on this stuff. It's powering our own technology.
It's powering Edge. Like Edge is running on this.
It's powering
it's
Edge.
Actually, used by millions of people.
It's not like we're like, oh yeah, take some open source and make yourself happy. We're contributing to this, the community is contributing to it, it's powering our stuff, and hopefully it can power community's next project, so go check it out.
It's really cool stuff. There's all kinds of new stuff coming out, and it's also new stuff coming out from the community.
Yeah.
John has a great blog post on Wintellect PowerShell, the new Wintellect PowerShell version that works with Visual Studio 2017.
Yeah.
I haven't really actually used it, have you?
I'm not a big PowerShell guy, but I know the Intellect team, actually. I work with them quite a bit, and they've been working on this for quite a while, and they've shipped this major update that just makes it much easier to work with some of the core features developers might want to take advantage of. System internals, you can bring in there. If you're a PowerShell person, you should check this thing out. I think one of the most awesome things about PowerShell is just how extensible it is and how community-driven it is. If you think about PowerShell, when it first came out, right, it was like, what is this thing? And then everybody started using it. It was kind of magical. I didn't think, like, everyone around me was like, oh, yeah, just PowerShell that thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? It just came out. And these companies, like these partners are working on just making it better. So go check them out. It's some good stuff.
That's right. And John has a whole blog post on what it took to bring this to work with Visual Studio 2017. So it's a lot of learnings there. And if you're interested in PowerShell, we had a whole live event happening on the 10-year anniversary here on Channel 9. Happened, I think, in December.
Yeah.
So all those videos are recorded. So we have a lot of content on this,
too. We should link to that, too.
That's a good point.
Make sure to do it.
There you go. Nick has a great blog post on the bot framework and how to use the Direct Line API with UWP applications.
Yeah.
We've had this for a while now. The Direct Line API has been available, but we don't have a lot of guidance for people using UWP or any other platforms out there.
Yeah. So this is feeling like a knowledge gap, right? It's not, we're not saying something new came out, but this is an awesome article. I was actually reading through it before the show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and try this because it looks awesome.
That's right. It's really cool. I mean, you can use any of the bots that you make. You can use them. We have channels for Slack and Skype and all these different things.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people know that you can actually just use a regular API to directly call into your bot from anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to actually just get you started with doing that.
Yeah. So go read it. It's like 3 pages long. It's comprehensive. So go check it out. If you have no experience with bots or UWP, even this thing, I think, gets you up and running.
And if not, that it just has links to also a lot of the things you need to learn about this, so it's good. Scott Hanselman is back.
He's back. Maria, too.
Maria,
let's not forget my two heroes right there. you know, it's been wonderful to work with both of them. They're amazing. They know their stuff. They know their space. And to see them create training has been awesome because they understand how to I think, do the delivery of the training, even before the topic, right? And then they know the topic really well. The thing to know is that there's multiple courses out there. They keep refreshing them. There's going to be more refreshes. We're probably never going to be done refreshing training because, you know, things change, right, and evolve. So this is just a second refresh, and people should go check it out. If you're basically new to ASP.NET Core or you're not new to .NET, ASP.NET, but you're new to Core, this training gets you up and running. The tooling is still evolving, so we'll have to refresh training one more time, probably, you know, soon in this year. Early in this year, we should do that again. But, yeah, go check it out. It should be really good.
Agree, and a lot of things I like about these trainings by Scott and Maria is they take in consideration your level. So they have trainings for if you're just beginning with these things, or even if you're advanced. So they have these levels of training that you can get
you
started. It's really great, and it's like anybody can learn from this. It's not just for a specific set of people.
Yeah, go check it out, and let us know if there's things that we can do better in that training. We're listening.
Definitely. Just, you know his Twitter account.
You know my Twitter account.
Anyway, something fun I wanted to kind of put in here is there's this new supermarket of the future, that's what they call it. It's in Milan, Italy. And the way it works is the way they source all their vegetables and all their produce in a specific way, and they keep history of how these vegetables and how these fruits and everything is being sourced. So you have this history. So anybody can walk in and they can take, let's say, a tomato, and they can put it up. Their sensors actually connects all over the store.
Yeah.
They can actually understand what this is and tell exactly what this thing came from, the history of this, what's this carbon footprint of this thing is, everything. So you can learn about anything you need about this little guy. Probably even give it a name to this tomato, like John the Tomato. This is who you're buying.
It's almost too much information about my food. I think you made that as a joke earlier. I was really, really compelling to say that because, you know, I don't know if I want to know all this information, but it's really cool use of technology. I think this is a POC, if nothing else, of something that's really awesome.
It just looks really cool, and I don't know if I want to eat something I've named, but, you know.
Oh, my fruit, I know your name, now I shall bite into you. Yeah,
it could be
a very touching moment there.
There you go. Okay, that's the end of the show. We just have the picks of the week. So what's your pick of the week?
Yeah, so I've got training here. It's actually 2 items, but it's a single entity. So we had a Connect event just recently, and at Connect we delivered a full day of training for folks. And one of the things we do with all our training is we put it online on demand. So we have the on-demand version of 2 different training classes. So one of them, it comes from Microsoft, from Xamarin University. So Xamarin University did kind of Xamarin Forms, XAML Basics, adding web services to your mobile app. So all this mobile Xamarin development and there's 6 modules of training. It's all free. It's all available up on Channel 9. We'll have links to that. And also that same day, we did training for web, Azure data. So we had things like ASP.NET Core. We had Application Insights. We did SQL Database. Mm-hmm. We did SQL Server. We did 6 hours of just like lots of cool stuff, and it was the flow, right? So you can kind of get in there and see these different products and how they can interact with different stages of your application. So both training is up on Channel 9 for free. So go check it out. It's pretty awesome.
It's amazing how much training we have these days. You know, if I want to have a profession in professional trainee, yeah. I guess I could do that because you can watch
you
these could. Training videos like your whole like.
You
want
to make some training for me? I need some more training, so maybe we'll talk if you're
let's
ambitious.
Let's talk about that right after this.
If
yeah,
you have free
sure.
time,
let's
you know,
do it.
We have the studio space, that's for sure.
So if all this stuff is amazing, so even if you're just curious, definitely go on and check it out.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Great training.
Yeah, my pick of the week is a bit fun. It's a bit of. Swedish researchers, they did a little published a story where they actually used a phone to analyze a DNA sequence. And they used a Windows phone, they used the 1020. And the 1020, for those that don't know, it's actually a big camera attached yep. to a phone. So it's a 36 pixel camera. It's a big camera. And they use a little help on it. They put a bunch of lenses on it. But they actually use this camera to do the sequencing of the DNA. And they said it's amazing how much work you can do with just this little device.
Yeah.
So if you want to do this...
It's a computer in your hand nowadays, but a huge camera. It's really awesome.
Exactly. So you can take this and in places where they don't have some like million-dollar equipment, they can use these little devices and they can do this really quick. So I remember like 10 years ago, to sequence DNA cost like millions and millions of dollars. Now you can do it in one day with a phone. It's...
Technology is moving at a rapid pace, just hopefully for the good of mankind. That's my only fear.
It's always for the good of mankind.
If the robots are rising, just know I love robots. I'm just saying.
But even if they are rising, they do everything for the good. Anyway.
Do for the good of robots, most likely, right?
For themselves, I guess.
For themselves. I mean, if I was a robot, I would care
about
other robots.
You should trick
them
to think they're humans, so that way they do it for the good. Yeah.
This is getting complicated.
Anyway. Thank you so much for helping us host this week. Thanks, everyone, for watching and taking time of your busy days. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Take care.